Good morning, Samrit, and welcome to our studio.
Thank you. Good morning.
You are passionate about the light, and a few years back, how long it is? 5-6 years?
Yeah.
You started
Lightfish.
So how it is?
It's good. Yeah, we keep innovating, keep making new things, working with new clients. And recently we launched a light which I think combines everything that we've learned in the last few years. So working with wood and metal and electronics and heat sinks, and we threw it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And
you started to experiment it with smart lights, yeah?
Yeah. So that was the idea, is to have a light which was not only on-off, but that would adjust to the brightness that you wanted, and would also adjust to the color temperature. So in the future, we're going to be also having color, so it can go from a full spectrum of RGB lights. But at the beginning, we felt that being able to make a cool light and a warm light was something that a lot of people were lacking in the lights on the market.
I opened your webpage and I saw it's actually a table lamp, right?
Yeah.
Made with beautiful design with wood around.
Yeah.
And as you said, you can change the shade, you know, either warm or cool, and brighter and lighter.
Yeah.
But that's the feature on it which was really amazing to me. It's like how to connect with your loved ones.
Yeah. So that was the cute part, is that we wanted to have something that, first, it's a little bit of a sales gimmick. Of course, we want to sell more lights, so it's better if we sell you two lights than we sell you one. But if we sell you two lights, they're forever paired. So they're connected. No matter where they are in the world, as long as they have internet access, those two lights will remain connected. And just like you can send a message through a WhatsApp or through a text message, you can just send a message to your light. So it's more subtle. It's more like you're reading next to your bed and you're thinking of your loved one. So you tap on the light and the light blinks on the other side of the world.
So the person knows, okay, somebody's thinking of
me,
right? You can also do the Morse code.
No, it's
just
a sign on off. I'm thinking,
thinking of you.
That's it, yeah.
And it's connected through the internet. Okay, that's kind of getting feasible all over the world, regardless where you are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just two lights, so it's not if anyone thinks
it's
about you, it's that particular person you bought the light for. And and like you said, it's a table lamp right now because that's the easiest one to install. You don't need anything, but
you just plug it in. Right?
Yeah, you just plug it in. But we're also going to be releasing a wall-mounted light and a hanging light, all with the same technology. And the app's going to continue to develop. So, for instance, you could program your app to turn the light off when you leave the room. So as soon as you walk outside of the room and you're out of Wi-Fi range, the light turns off. When you walk back in, the light turns back on. The way I saw it, when I even when I look at it, I feel like there's an awareness about the light. It's like it's a conscious about how close you are, when you're coming home. That's the smart part of it, is that it's not just an on-off switch to it. If you study a little bit on light, we're very much affected by light. When we spend a lot of time under like neon lights, it affects our temperament. And the idea is to sort of follow what the sun would normally do. So in the morning, you have a bright whitish light, which sort of wakes you up and gets you ready for the day. But in the evening, when you are coming home, you want to have the light which is more warm and soft and soothing, getting you ready for sleep. And offices are now starting to see that having these kinds of lights in the workplace improves the efficacy of the people working there. I also want to talk a little bit about the materials we use, because that's been a very important aspect of designing the light. So of course, we need to use cables and aluminum parts and all of this stuff, but the main body is made out of wood, and we wanted something special. So the wood that we use comes from, or in the mainly from naturally fallen trees. Mm-hmm. Now, some trees are cut if they're overhanging a fence and they need to be cut. But the idea is that no tree is cut for the purpose of making the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's all trees that have fallen or are about to fall or need to be cut. And in that sense, we want to create a light which is also more sustainable or also more conscious about the environment.
The wood is from here, is local wood, right?
Yeah, it's local wood.
So it's like work tree,
yeah.
Teak wood,
yeah.
Rosewood.
Yeah. It's right now we're working with work tree.
Mm-hmm.
There is some teak also that we'll be using, but mainly we want to work with work tree. Part of the reason why also the design of the lamp has been thought of so that we don't have to cut down big trees. So the diameter of the lamp is about the growth of a 5-year tree. And the tree has about a 7-year life before it needs to, you know, it dies naturally. So we're not cutting big trees. Usually the smaller trees which are grown start the forest, and once the forest picks up, they just naturally die.
Mm-hmm.
There's
plenty of it around too.
There's plenty of it available in Norway. It's also very hard wood, which means that the wood is going to, it's unlike pine, which would be kind of a cheaper solution. This wood is going to last a long time.
So how did you start?
So the whole inspiration behind light was when I was, I think, in college, my first year, one of the exercises was to design a light. And I remember the moment where I had gone to the wood workshop and I had cut everything and I had placed everything in proper positions. And it was kind of a light that flipped between a task light and a mood light. And there was some complexity to it. There was some movement to it. And the moment I turned it on, and it turned on, it got this wow effect. Like it's alive. It's there. It's happening. And I got excited to share that with people, to make more of it. And then also got involved in doing lighting for entire bars and clubs and houses. And I think that it can have a huge impact with very little change. All you need to change is the temperature, the mood, have a diffused lighting, and the whole space is
completely
transformed.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to transform spaces. Working with the material is also something I really, for me, I felt that it was important to choose the right materials, and I've always loved working with wood.
But I remember a few years back you had also quite some of metal, and
yeah.
If I'm correct, you also had a 3D printer, right?
Yeah. I come from an industrial design background, uh-huh. So mass production is sort of always in my mind, in the back of my mind. And when I was designing, so I worked with plastic and with metal, my whole approach was how can I design a light with almost no waste.
Uh-huh.
So I would look at a sheet of metal 8x4, and I would start designing the light, but then also start seeing how it could be made from that sheet, and then adjust the design for aesthetics but also to not waste material. And it was a real back and forth until I found the right balance where every bit of material was used on the sheet, and if there were bits of material that were not used for that light, I would then make other things to fit in that empty space. It was a different approach to working with material than it is working with wood. Working with wood, unfortunately, you don't have that. The tree doesn't grow in a conical shape. It, you know, it grows as it does. And what we do with our waste now is we send it back to the forest to be turned into mulch. So the wood comes from the forest, it gets turned into a light, and the sawdust gets turned back
to
mulch.
How many people work with you?
So it fluctuates. We usually have 1 to 2 interns. We have about 4 people in the workshop. We have 1 senior engineer designer who works with me on some of the more sophisticated parts that need to be CNC'd. Myself, office manager, about 8 people.
That's quite a lot. And I know that you lighten up quite some houses here around.
Yeah.
As you said, and also outside
establishment.
What are people usually looking for the most? At least in our community,
yeah,
so to speak.
So when people call me, it's usually because they need something done that it's not easy to get done. It's not like they need me to replace a bulb for them. It's usually they want to do something different. A lot of people contacted me when the 12-volt CFL bulbs, they stopped producing them. And a lot of people had these lights which they couldn't find replacements for. So I came in and turned the entire houses into LED houses. It brought the power consumption. They already had efficient lighting, but it brought the power consumption where we were going down with all the lights on to something like 70 watts, which is just a little bit more than one conventional bulb. And they had their kitchen on, their living room on. Also, the lighting was much nicer, more soothing.
And so, also the around the houses, right? Because I saw some beautiful lightings, so to speak.
You know,
like you didn't think of, oh, I could do that, and it looked fabulous, no?
Yeah. So the nice thing about working with Oroville is that a lot of the people are also quite creative.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that came out of a house project was the bottle lights. Someone said, I have these wine bottles, I enjoy drinking wine, and I would like to do something with these extra bottles. So we created the first wine bottle light, which then evolved through many, many versions into the ones that we're using now. But the nice thing was that it wasn't like I was sitting down and creating something and then expecting people to buy it. It was an exchange. It was working with someone.
An interaction
to fulfill their need. And then from that, perfecting it and then bringing it to the market. And we've done all sorts of lights around the house using recycled materials or upcycled materials. Something as simple as turning a bucket upside down and putting a light inside, and it creates some, wow, there's like a colorful light in my garden, and it's completely waterproof, it's long-lasting, super efficient.
Those plastic water buckets.
Huh? Yeah.
I think there's many of them, not in Norway, but
around
the square road, even the police booth got one of them.
Yeah.
The red one.
Yeah.
In last, 7-8 years, things changed quite dramatically from TLFs, those lights which are, we figure out that are poisonous.
Yeah, mercury cells.
And the conventional bulb eating lots of electricity, and also they don't last too long, especially not with the crazy power cuts we have. And now the new technology is coming in, yeah? First was LED, like a boom.
Mm.
But the smart lights are another step, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the problem is always to have a stable power source. If you have a power that fluctuates to, 320 volts one moment and then 180 the next moment, for sure, no matter what you have, it's going to have a shorter life.
Mm.
The nice thing about the LEDs is that they're going to last a long time. And the ones that have, the smart chip in them where you can control them, they bring on a whole new dynamic kind of effect to your space. Like here you see every few seconds the mood of the space is shifting and changing, and it's nice. It brings a fun element to it. Dynamism to it. So, yeah, I see the future being more along the OLED, which is this new technology where it is a film, which is a translucent, transparent film, which just lights up, and you can wrap it around something, you can put it in a strip, you can cover your entire window. This entire thing could then be turned in. This window could be turned into a light. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen, and a lot of it is going to bring a playful aspect to lighting. Not just an efficient and like what we saw when we went from incandescent bulbs to tube lights is that actually the quality of the light went down. Incandescent bulbs have fuller spectrum of light, and so they're healthier to be under, they're more enjoyable to be under, and fluorescent bulbs did not. Now we're going back to a full spectrum of light where we're able to have, you know, as similar as possible to natural light. And so I think it's going to make spaces more enjoyable and, more interesting to work with.
It's actually also part of the design, right? If you take it as a color or accentuation of a certain area or room. When we're talking about the design, you said like you're working with a team of kind of 8 people, but I believe only few of you are working specifically just on the design, yeah?
Yeah.
So that will be you and...
I'm usually heading the design. Mm-hmm. So with this last project, the smart light that we were talking about, I really wanted to look outside the box. I'd been designing lights for a long time, and so I wanted to have a new take on it. And I usually have 2 interns that come in, but this time I took in 5. And a partner who did all of the electronics. And we did a lot of brainstorming, looking at all types of lights. So not only just a table light, but what is the idea of light? How can we innovate in this market? And we came up with, you know, the kind of lights that you see on the side here, which have adjustable arms. And we came up with lights that... sort of balance all sorts of shapes and ideas and materials. And then we started focusing more and more on what it is that we are good at doing, what it is that we see a strong potential. And we honed down on this particular model.
How would you describe it?
When I'm designing it, I always try to bring out the character in the light. So when it's sitting there, it should look like it's a companion that's sort of sitting next to you and watching what you're doing. Not necessarily in a creepy watching way, but sort of just it's there and it's providing light. So it's got a human quality to it, in the sense it's got a body and it's got an adjustable head. And it's got a large base where all of the electronics are put. On the back of the base, you have a USB charger. We noticed that a lot of people, when they have their phones, they have them just next to where their lights are, you know, so they have their light on one side and then they have their phone on close by. And by having a charger inbuilt into the light means that you don't need to have an extra plug point that's being used. You don't need to have
So with that light, I can also charge the devices.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's an aspect that came out in the research that we were doing. And it's got a large base with an aluminum top, which has an adjustable screw, and then a large wooden housing to hold the LEDs. The LEDs are 18 half-watt LEDs, half of them warm white, half of them cool white, so that we can really control a full shift. And also one of the advantages is that when you dim down LEDs, they usually tend to flicker. Mm-hmm. So we worked a lot on getting a LED which could ramp up from zero brightness to 100% brightness without any flicker in between. When you turn it on and off, also it dims. So it's not like it's a sudden...
It goes slowly.
It slowly
it's
turns on. Yeah, it fades
it's
in.
Also,
it fades
but when
out.
You turn it on, it doesn't just go, but it also goes gradually, right?
And it'll remember your last setting also. Mm. So it's not like every time you turn it on, you have to again adjust it to the setting that you like. It'll remember, and then you can adjust it.
You name it also?
Well, we've gone through many names. Right now it's the Kerry lamp.
Kerry lamp?
Yeah.
Like Kerry something?
K-E-R-I.
After somebody's name?
It's the partner. It's my partner, Manan, who is the one who's doing the electronics. So he's the one who... Of course, we have a discussion, but I want it to be his also. I want it to be his product. And I feel like it's a conscious lamp for me. That's the way I call it, because it's not only conscious about its environment, you know, your phones and your internet and who's around and all this stuff, but it's also designed consciously. In the materials that we use, in the way that we make it.
Materials are spent on,
yeah.
Wait, you said that it knows who's around. You got Bluetooth or?
No, it's Wi-Fi. So we were looking at all the different ways to connect it. Bluetooth was one option that we were. The end goal is to design an entire solution. And we want to have each of these smart lights be able to communicate amongst each other. And depending on who is around, they will adjust according to, you know, if it's you that comes into the house or if it's your partner that comes into the house, the light may change. You just need to have your phone.
Okay, yeah? That's all.
And your phone, it connects with Alexa, which is like also a centralized home system. You can just take your phone and say, Kiri, please turn on the lights in the living room and make them warm white. And it'll adjust it to that that setting. What we do want to do in the future is right now the light is still plugged into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And one idea that we have is to have this light work on solar energy. Initially, it's a bit expensive to go all out, and that means that you need to have a solar panel, and you need to have a battery, and you need to charge it, and then you bring it back in, and then you need to plug it in. So there's some elements that are a little bit too complicated for beginners. Yeah, but that's one area that we want to do, that you can just charge the light. So it has a built-in a power bank. You charge the light just like you charge your phone, and then you carry it around and bring it to wherever you want. So we're looking at really, pushing a little bit the idea of a conventional table lamp and coming up with something that's...
I'm sure you will come up with a solution which would be user-friendly.
Yeah.
The OLED technology actually is also spend really, really even less than LEDs, right?
It's efficient, but it's expensive. So until they find a way to bring the price down...
Mm-hmm.
It becomes still too expensive for the average consumer, but it's promising. Yeah, it's very promising.
How much does it spend, like a light we have there? How much does it spend electricity, do you know?
Yeah, so this will, what you have here will be about between 3 to 6 watt,
mm-hmm.
Which is roughly about 10 times more efficient than incandescent bulb. And quite a bit more efficient than a CFL bulb. But it's not only comparing the energy consumption, but also the quality of the light. So a CFL bulb is going to give you a very different atmosphere than, you know, this one. It's difficult to make an argument purely based on price, because this technology is always going to be expensive. But if you're talking about long run, then you have usually a break-even point after about 7 years. After about 7 years on just on the bulbs itself, not on the energy consumption. So just on how many bulbs you have to keep replacing.
But it's also another thing, because CFL bulbs are actually poisonous. Also the neon tubes, harmful for beings, no?
Yeah, they've got...
Mercury?
Mercury, of course, not good. And also the way they're being disposed is not good. So even in Orville, when you see the way that we... what we do with tube lights, it's not conscious.
Through the years, some of the products have been designed for being used, but they were not, as you said. I'm happy that you said that you were designing this lamp consciously with the thought on environment, on what's going to happen with the residue or the leftovers of the production. Mm-hmm. Because the tube lights are one of those examples, yeah?
Yeah.
They were kind of efficient and so forth, but what happened with them next?
Yeah.
So it's good that this point's coming up and people are getting more and more aware. Also, that when you design something, when you produce something, it has that notion in it that what happened next, even if it's after 20 years, but still, what happened with it, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to become a prerequisite to new design now, is that we design...
The ethics of...
Yeah. Not only how the components is put together, but also how the components are taken apart and recycled and reused. Yeah, we're just trying to be one step ahead. But I think that that'll be the case for all new products that come out.
We can help.
Yeah.
Okay, one final question. What is the price of that lamp or the pair of the lamps?
So the price, because it's on the international market, is in dollars. The smaller one is at 120,
mm-hmm.
and the bigger one is at 150. And I think the pair, is at 220.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a bit of discount if you get two. And we have also some attachments. So you can buy a little USB plate, also made out of wood, where you just need to put your smartphone on it and it'll charge it. So it's for the new phones, for the new iPhone X, where you don't need to plug it in anymore. I think that's another like $25 or something like this. And we also have a LED string. So the light that we have has got quite a lot of brightness. And another approach to it is to have many, many little lights. So we have a LED string which plugs into the USB, which can also be controlled. And it's a bit like Christmas lights. So you can have it like, you know, like somewhere nearby. And you can, you know, use the app to turn it on and off.
So that goes with the lamp.
That goes with the lamp, yeah.
Okay, so that's like a Christmas bonus.
Yes, yes. Cute. Yes. And I don't remember what the price of this one is, but it's also not very expensive, so $20, something.
For our villains, the same price?
At the moment, we're trying to promote the Kickstarter page, because we need to raise enough money to bring all of this electronics to a certain number, where it becomes efficient to sell. So this is happening right now, and I think we have about 20 days left on the campaign. It's important that we get that critical point where we say, okay, we need to have a minimum of 400 lamps to be able to start real production.
So the Kickstarter campaign is actually about to have people who want to buy them.
Yeah,
it's the numbers about of lights. It's not Kickstarter about the money being raised, right?
It helps small units who don't have the capital to generate the capital and then start production. So it's a bit like an advance. You pay us now, and a lot of people do the same thing. We have enough money to buy the technology to produce a large quantity so that we can make it at that price. Because right now we're making them one at a time. And it's costing us too much. Yeah.
So 400 lamps, that would be then like
we're looking to raise $40,000.
$40,000.
Yeah. Is our target. We actually ideally we would make 1,000 lamps. We would like to make 1,000 lamps and
okay, like that, yeah.
And then then everything becomes easier when you have, when you're working with, like, you know, if you buy
it's the same as cooking,
1 kilo or 1,000 kilos of the same product, you get it at a better price.
And how far are you now?
Right now we are at 10%.
Okay. So whoever is listening, you can tap in and pre-order the lamps or 100 lamps.
Yeah.
What would be the webpage or the site where people can find that Kickstarter campaign?
Maybe we'll share it in the description. It's a very long description, but if you
okay, so we will copy the link in the text. So please read the text as well.
Yes.
Find the link for the Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
Samrit, all the best.
Thank you.
And keep going forward, which I'm sure that you would.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Pleasure talking.